You are listening to the weekly sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church in Canton, South Dakota. We're a church that strives to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make a difference. To learn more, visit us at cantonsdumc.org. And now, here's Pastor Clay.
Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John in chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 19 through 28. And I read from the Good News Translation, which is the same translation as your pew Bibles. And so if you wanted to follow along with today's reading, it is on page 154 of your pew Bibles as we read this from the Gospel. It was late on that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it on my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be holy and acceptable to you. For you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. And we give you thanks as we say together, Amen. On Wednesday, after I returned from lunch, I found a box sitting on my office, on the desk in my office. And the box was addressed specifically to me. And I want you to know that I had not ordered anything, I was not expecting anything, but there this box was. And I opened the box only to find that it was an entire case of bug bite crackers. If you know me, you know that they are my favorite. And I just want you to know that we are ready for Camp Sunday because I have an entire case of bug bite crackers to give out on Camp Sunday. The weird thing about this package is that there was no note, there was no card, there was no thing to indicate who this came from so I could thank them. The return address label was for a warehouse in Minnesota, and so there was no clues there. And so I did the only thing that I could think to do, which was to send a Snapchat to some of my friends that know bug bites are my favorite and just give a generic thank you and offer just if anyone knows anything about how this case of bug bites made its way to Canton, South Dakota, to let me know. And it wasn't until I heard a response from Keith Hsu, our director of camping for Dakota's Minnesota Episcopal area, who reminded me that my dear friend Christy Heflin, the former director at Lake Ponset Camp, knows my affinity for bug bite crackers and knows that Camp Sunday is coming. I finally texted her and just said, "Thank you, I know what you did," and she said, "You're welcome." So it brought the to an end, and so even though Christy is now working for Dakota State University, she will be very much remembered on our Camp Sunday here in a couple of weeks. And I just have to tell you that after a fun, busy, powerful, successful Holy Week, a sweet treat from a dear friend was exactly what I needed. Our scripture this morning comes on the end of a week for the disciples that was not fun, that was busy, that was powerful, and didn't feel all that successful. In fact, our scripture this morning comes after what had to have been one of the worst weeks of their lives as Jesus' physical life came to an end. And keep in mind that these disciples had left careers in order to follow Jesus. They had left families in order to follow Jesus. They had left homes and security in order to follow Jesus. They had invested so much time into following Jesus. And then Jesus died. So you have to imagine that they were asking the questions that we would all be asking. What are we supposed to do now? Where are we supposed to go now? And because there is no good or correct answer to that question, the disciples went into hiding before they could figure out what they were going to do next. And this is where we pick up the story. This is where Scripture begins for us this morning. It is on that day of resurrection, on the day of the resurrection. Earlier that day, the women had gone to the tomb. They had found the tomb empty, except for the angel that announced the resurrection and gave the women specific instructions for what they were supposed to do next. And they eventually go and tell the disciples, which in John's gospel creates a foot race to the tomb between Peter and John. But up until this point, the disciples had not seen the risen Jesus. They are alone, and they are afraid, and they are bewildered, and it seems like the story is just getting stranger. But then into their upper room, then into their locked room, something miraculous happens as Jesus appears. As Scripture says, Jesus came and stood among them. Finally, after all they had experienced that week, after all the pain of Jesus' death and then Jesus seemingly staying dead, after all that pain, after all that heartache, you can imagine this, that seeing Jesus would have brought this level of relief. And while it seemed like that relief may have been exactly what the disciples needed, Jesus knew that they had an even bigger need. Jesus holds nothing back from his disciples. Jesus allows them to see that he was wounded, yet alive by the power of the resurrection. And Jesus then gives to the disciples what they truly needed as he announces peace. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Peace be with you. Jesus enters this open room and announces peace over this group of heartbroken and confused and terrified friends. In order that they may believe, in order to encourage them, in order to convince them that the report of the resurrection is true, Jesus comes to them not with words of condemnation, not with words of shame, not with words of rebuke for their lack of faith or their absence in the story. But Jesus comes to them and pronounces peace. The second scene we're talking about today happens a week after the first, because Thomas was missing from that first group. But now Thomas is back among the disciples. And Thomas is holding on to his unbelief despite what his closest friends were telling him all week long. Thomas says that he will not believe unless he experiences what the other disciples had. Thomas will not believe will not believe the risen Jesus until he sees Jesus and touches Jesus and experiences Jesus for himself. What I find so interesting is in that moment, Thomas's needs are so vastly different than those of his companions. Despite the turmoil that Thomas was going through, despite the anguish that Thomas was going through, peace would not have been his biggest need. And although we will hear Jesus offer peace anyway, even Jesus knows that what Thomas needs is not peace. No, what Thomas needs and maybe even deserves is his own experience, his own confirmation, his own proof that Jesus is risen. And in the midst of Thomas's mourning and in the midst of his doubting, Jesus re-enters the room and turns his attention to Thomas and uses Thomas's own words not to condemn or to shame him, but to assure him of the resurrection. And to assure him that Jesus will give to Thomas everything that he needs in order to believe. Jesus invites Thomas to explore his wounds because he knows that this is what Thomas thinks that he needs. And Jesus urges Thomas to put away his fear, to put away his doubt, and to simply believe. But what I want us to get from this is that in spite of the popular tendency to cast Thomas as the doubting one, this story really isn't about doubt. This story is about the abundance of grace shown in Jesus Christ, who through his interaction with Thomas responds with exactly what Thomas needed in order to have a deeper faith. Thomas, because of who he was as a person, because of how God wired him, Thomas had his doubts. And he never would have found relief from those doubts if he just pretended that they didn't exist. But the true focus of this story is that Jesus knew what his individual disciples needed to be shown that the resurrection was true. And Jesus responds in the same way to all of his disciples, even if the response is a little bit different. Jesus responds by providing. In our scripture this morning, Jesus addresses the needs of his disciples to give them what they need to move to deeper faith. Jesus addresses them personally and differently. Jesus addresses them individually. And Jesus' response to their need is the same every single time, and that is to provide. The disciples needed peace, and Jesus provided. Thomas said he needed the physical encounter with Jesus, and Jesus invited Thomas to get up close and personal with him. So the question becomes for us this morning, the question becomes this: what is it that you need in order to be moved to deeper faith? What is it that you need today to be moved to a deeper faith? If the answer is bug bites, let me know, because I've got plenty. But if it's not, what is it? Is it peace? Is it assurance? Is it hope? Is it validation that you're not the crazy one for believing in Jesus? Because the world sometimes often tries to make us feel like we're crazy for believing in Jesus. Whatever it is that you may need in order to move to deeper faith today, may you believe and know that Jesus is prepared to provide so that you may come to a deeper faith and confess along with Thomas that Jesus Christ is our Lord and is our God. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we come to you exactly as we are today. We come to you with our stresses, with our fears, and with our doubts. We come to you with hang-ups and heartaches and a number of things that just stand in the way of us having a deep and vibrant faith in you. And we come knowing that you know these things. You know the things that we carry. And like Thomas, we just want to experience you. So be with us throughout our day. Be with us throughout this moment. And give us that which we need in order to believe deeply in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to this week's sermon from the Canton United Methodist Church. Join us in person or online at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for worship. And now go in peace and serve the Lord.
I want to encourage you after the message to head over to our YouTube channel and click the subscribe button. Over on YouTube, you will find videos of our entire worship service, a video cast of our weekly Cut for Time conversation with Pastor Clay and Eric, songs from our praise band One Way Up, and a bunch of other great things as well. Just search for Canton United Methodist Church. It would mean a lot to have you subscribe.